When we sing songs like we've just sung, do we actually mean the words? As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. It's easy to sing the words, if you like. It's a lot more difficult to put them into practice in a real way in our lives, that we do not only just live our Christian lives sort of out through each day, but we long to serve the Lord. We long to be filled with His love. We long to be filled with His Spirit. And, you know, being a Christian isn't all about us getting excited that, you know, our sins are forgiven and we've got assurance of tomorrow that one day we'll be with Him. But as I look at the scriptures, I see that God's aim, Jesus' aim, was not just to save us, but to equip us. It's interesting that Jesus said to the group around Him just before He died, "Go into all the world and make disciples." He never said, "Go and make converts." And I think sometimes in our lives we start thinking, you know, about us and how good it is to be a Christian. And sometimes we'll even consider, you know, that we ought to actually try and convert somebody. But the aim that Jesus had, that we should disciple, we should share, we should teach, we should encourage, we should mature other people. And so maybe let's have that longing, that passion in our hearts to know more of God, so that we can share more of God, so that we can encourage each other and encourage a world that doesn't yet know Jesus. But I believe in many a heart there's a longing for. I think it was Billy Graham who maybe popularised it, maybe somebody had said it before him, that in every person there's a God-shaped hole and only God can fill it. And the great news is that He wants us to be channels in seeing that happen. It's got nothing to do with what I was going to say tonight, but I just feel that that's something that God wants us to work on in our lives in this day. I want to talk tonight about encountering the love of God. You know, today, my family have been celebrating the fact that it's just 1 year since our daughter got married. And we had family members round for lunch today, and then we sat and watched the DVD of the whole wedding all over again. Wonderful it was. Particularly as I not only gave my daughter away, but I then conducted the wedding service as well. So that was quite interesting. And so today's a day of sort of remembering love. And this week we're going to remember love. You know, Tuesday is Valentine's Day. I did do a PowerPoint that, for some reason, because I'm not very good IT-wise, it won't play on the system. But I would have showed you a picture of a man and I would have said to you, guess this man's name. And you wouldn't have had a clue. I would have helped you along the way a little bit. But I can't do that. So let me tell you that he's a real man, although sadly he's now passed away a couple of years ago. Let me tell you, his birthday is February the 14th. Can you guess his name? Valentine. Very good. What's his surname? His surname is Card. And when he was born on February the 14th, his mum and dad gave him the wonderful name of Valentine. I grew up knowing Valentine. He was a great guy. He was a Salvationist in Chelmsford. When the band used to go out and march around the town, Valentine would carry the flag. And about this time of year, because of his name, he would often find himself on television, on local radio, being interviewed by newspapers. And the great thing about Val was, you know, that sort of make joke of his name, but he would talk about love, and he would talk about the fact that he was a Christian. And it gave him an opening to talk about God's love for him. And he would always do that. He had a couple of children. One was called Rosalind. The other one, his elder son, was called Howard. Sadly, Howard died quite a few years ago. But Howard's daughter is now married to an Elam pastor. And they are pastoring the church in Sturchley in Birmingham. They meet in the, well, what used to be the social club for Cadbury's Chocolate in Bourneville in Birmingham. And it's great because when you visit their church and then you come out, you smell Cadbury's chocolates. Absolutely wonderful it is. And Gary and Jill, who is the granddaughter of Valentine Card, pastor there. In fact, Jill had a real passion for evangelism. And going back quite a long while now, she invited her boss to come to a Billy Graham relay service that we were having in the Elam Church in Chelmsford. And towards the end of it, Gary ran out. He couldn't stand the pressure. He ran out, and Jill followed him and brought him back, and I led him to the Lord. And he used to help me in our discipling classes. And then one day he said to me, you know, I think I've got a bit of a passion to serve the Lord. And off he went to Bible college and became an Elam pastor and served the Lord in Birmingham for a number of years now. He does the same job in Birmingham that Dave Redbond does in this area as the regional coordinator. But Valentine Card had a passion for Jesus. He had an odd name, but he used to turn it around and talk about true love, the love of God. Born on February the 14th. I wonder if you know the story of Valentine's Day. Do you know the story? Valentine's Day came about because back about 250 years after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was a priest who was serving in Rome, and his name was Valentine. And about that time, the emperor of the day, called Claudius, had decided that he didn't want to conscript people to an army. He thought that single men would more easily go into the army. So he did a very clever thing. He stopped marriage. And then you had lots of single men who he hoped would go and join in the army. But there was this priest, Valentine, who absolutely loved God and believed that it was his role and duty, and one of the most joyous things that he did in his ministry was to conduct marriages. So even though it was banned, he used to secretly marry people, always listening during a wedding service to see if the Roman army would come and arrest him. And sadly, one day they did, and off he got taken. The penalty for disobeying the emperor was quite drastic. He knew he faced the death penalty. While he was in prison awaiting his execution, one of the guards in the prison allowed his daughter to visit him. And she would spend many a time there just talking to this priest called Valentine. And on the day that he was to be executed, which was the 14th of February, he left her a card in his cell and just expressed his appreciation of their conversations over the many weeks. And he signed it like this: "Love from your Valentine." And if you like, that's how Valentine cards started, and you know, we carry it on even to today. I guess if you talk to people, if you think about it deeply in your own life, we all like to be loved. We all like to have the ability to love someone else. A young man wrote this to his girlfriend: "Sweetheart, if this world was as hot as the Sahara Desert, I would crawl on my knees through the burning sand to come to you. If this world were like the Atlantic Ocean, I would swim through shark-infested waters to come to you. I would fight the fiercest dragon to be by your side. I'll see you on Thursday if it isn't raining." And when it comes to real love, I guess lots of us sort of fall short of it a little bit. And maybe we get confused about what real love is. Perhaps as confused as a little 7-year-old girl called Sally, who told her teacher, "Love is when a girl puts on perfume and a boy puts on aftershave and they go out and smell each other." Or maybe those things do have a part to play, but maybe that isn't the true meaning of love. I believe the true answer is actually found in the words of Jesus himself. In John 15, he's celebrating the Passover with his disciples. In a few hours, he'll be arrested, and in a day, he will be crucified. And this is Jesus' message to those men who he'd walked with, talked with, served with over about 3.5 years. He said, "I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment: love one another in the same way that I have loved you. There is no greater love than this, than one lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And this is my command: love one another." Actually, Jesus had quite a lot to say about love. In his final night with his disciples, it was not an exception for him to be talking about love and service. If he was to look through his sort of conversation and his dialogue with the disciples at that time, probably more than 30 times he uses the word love. It was the central message that he wanted to leave with them, knowing that he very soon would be taken from them. Tonight, as we know, is Encounter Night. And my aim tonight is to encourage you, to encourage myself, to have a fresh encounter of the love of God, to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us in such a way that our lives are again filled and thrilled with the fact that God loves us and that God wants to bless us and to use us. First thing probably we need to recognise is something fairly obvious, that we need to receive his love. Jesus knew that his time on earth was soon coming to an end. He wanted to spend those last few moments with his disciples. I guess the last words of a dear one, are things that we hold on to through the years. Jesus wanted to make such an impact on his disciples as they sat around celebrating the Passover for what would be the last time with him. The Living Bible puts it like this: I have loved you to the extent that the Father has loved me. Live within my love, because I love you so deeply. And you know, I believe it would be true to say that he would want to say that to you and I tonight. He loves us deeply, and he wants us to know that. I once read about a preacher who said that everything he needed to know about theology he had learnt from the words of one song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And I remember at that time when I read that, there was a sort of an explanation of how that hymn came to be written. There was a child who was dying, and somebody comforted her with the words, reminding this little child that Jesus loved them. Some years later, a man called William Blackberry read the story and started to put sort of a song, a hymn around it, and wrote a tune that I guess for years now has probably been sung in Sunday schools around the world. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Finishing with sort of the chorus, yes, Jesus loves me. It grew so popular that it was easy for Sunday school teachers, for missionaries, to take that into whatever culture, country and nation they were in, and to easily explain the gospel. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. And what we need to do is to be able to receive that love into our lives. Three simple words: Jesus loves me. In a sense, you don't have to do 3 years at Regent's Bible College or get a master's degree in theology and religion. What saves us is the fact that we know and we receive and we acknowledge the fact Jesus loves me. And Jesus loves you. He wants us to encounter that love in a very special way. And Jesus says that we can live in his love and stay in his love. And when we recognize that, we will want to do something else. He says there is no greater love that we can have than to lay down one's life for his friends. I'm pretty sure that they had no idea the extent of what he was saying right there and then. For within hours he would do just that. He would lay down his life for them and for us and for the whole world. And as we recognize that love, as we receive it, as we acknowledge it, the undeniable truth that God loves us, as we draw close to him, he makes his love the more real to us. And as we receive it and it becomes a living part of who and what we are, there's something that necessarily follows, that we want to reciprocate that love, first to him and then to other people. In Jesus' day, rabbis often had groups around them, and they were called servants. And Jesus talks to his own disciples, and he says, I want you to understand that I don't see you as servants, but I do see you as friends. Because I've told you everything the Father has told me. So no longer now are you just servants, slaves to me. But you're my friends, and I love you. And if we recognise that that's still the truth today for our lives, for your life, for my life, then the question we have to sort of ask ourselves is, what sort of friend am I? What sort of friend am I? You see, because it's one thing to know and to say Jesus loves me. The other side of the coin is, do I love Jesus? And what does that mean for me? So let me ask you, do you love God? Do you love Jesus? And how is your love for him reflected in your life? We can sing songs like, oh, how I love Jesus. Or, I love you, Lord. We can sing songs like Majesty. We can sing songs like My Jesus, My Saviour. But as I said at the beginning, do we really mean them? Are they a true expression of our hearts and of our lives? For we will never be able to love the people who will be brought across our path by the Lord unless we truly have a love for God. Jesus said that the first and greatest commandment was we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. I listened to Simon earlier on and thought, carry on that line, Simon, and I won't bother to preach tonight. But it's amazing how sometimes the Holy Spirit will just tie things together in our services and in our thinking. I believe that our love for God, our response to the sacrifice of Jesus, our actions brought about by being infilled with the power of power of the Holy Spirit, will do something that we cannot do on our own. So how do we reciprocate the love of God in our lives? How do we manifest that? How do we show that in practical ways? Well, I would say it's not too different from the natural love that we have in human relationships. A love that's built on trust and communication and worship. We've been singing tonight about faith, about prayer, about worship. God calls us to love him with everything that we have and everything that we are. When I first fell in love with Brenda, I thought about her quite constantly. You could say I became infatuated with her. I would drive to her house every morning and pick her up and take her to work. At the end of the day, I would drive to the salon where she worked, I would collect her, and I would take her home. Yeah, it did have the added benefit that very often I was able to eat at her house and test her mum's cooking, which did sort of something for us. But then during the day I would be thinking about her. As I was driving around the county of Essex, we could be quite a few miles apart. But I would think about her. And that sort of cemented for us a love relationship. Because it didn't matter if we were together or apart. I was thinking about her, and in thinking about her, it was like our loves grew closer and tighter entwined. And you can all say, ah, oh, thank you. But spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. As we go about our lives, God wants us to be thinking and working and serving and demonstrating our love for Him. I love the way that the Message puts Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. It says it like this: take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. I don't know if you've ever thought it like that. But why not try it this week? Why not try it this week? So that every day you take your ordinary life, you're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking about life, and you see it as an offering that you can give to God. For when you do, you'll find that God will bring people across your pathway that you can share with, that you can minister to, that you can demonstrate and give something of the love that God has given you. It's the way that we reciprocate His love in our lives. But let me say that there's a third thing that we could do as well. We can receive His love, we can reciprocate His love, and we can recycle His love. Okay? Feel like Dave Redbourn now doing alliteration. Repeatedly through this passage, Jesus says, "This is my command, love one another." And once we've encountered the love of God and received Jesus into our lives, we've reciprocated that in our daily service, then it's such a joy to be able to recycle His love back into the world. Jesus had left us this command: "This is my command, love each other as I have loved you." And that's sort of very simple, isn't it? You know, you don't have to get a dictionary out. You don't have to go to Bible college to work out what Jesus is saying. He says, love as I have loved you. Love because I love you. And serve one another. And he did this at that meal in the upper room in a such an obvious way. They all came in, and the natural practice of the day was that a servant would wash their feet. It was springtime. It was the rainy season. They probably had walked through mud. And coming into the upper room to share this meal, a servant would wash their feet, but nobody did. Maybe they saw the bowl of water. Maybe they saw the towel. But it seems that nobody was prepared to say, "Oh, we haven't got a servant tonight. Let me wash your feet." And so eventually Jesus does. And you probably know there's a long discussion that goes on, particularly with him and Peter, through that. But they needed to learn the lesson. Jesus does this. It says that in I think it's Mark. He rose up from the table, took off his outer garment, tied a towel around his waist. He poured some water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Creator of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who was and is and ever will be, takes on the role of a servant. Takes on this humble role of doing what the least person would do. But it just shows something of his unrelenting love for each one of us. Anne Graham Lotz, who is Billy Graham's daughter, writes this about that scene in the upper room. She says, looking back on that night, John must have recalled the tender tone of Jesus' voice, the loving look in his face, the gentle grace of his gestures, the piercing passion in his eyes. And he must have been awestruck that Jesus expressed his love for them to the utmost degree he was capable of, by serving them and becoming a servant. And as we grow in our Christian faith, as we mature in our understanding, let us never forget that we're called to do two things, in essence, to love one another and to serve one another. To do what Jesus did, to follow in his footsteps. Because as we demonstrate those attributes of Christian character and living, we'll find out so much that other people too can encounter his love and his grace. Valentine may have become infamous for defying the emperor and standing up for marriage, but what really made him a saint was his love for Jesus. As a leadership, our desire is that this church and our group of churches, more than anything, will be a community of love. And this year, as we seek to know something of the fresh fire of the Holy Spirit falling on our services, on our own individual lives, we have a desire. We want to be able to come here, and we want you to be able to come here and to our other churches and feel that you're totally loved and that you're completely and utterly accepted by each one of us. Nothing more is important, according to Jesus, than the fact that we should be people of love and of service. If we were to make that our aim, not only just this week or this year, but our constant aim, that every moment of the day we will love each other and other people as God has loved us, has given us his grace and his mercy, has forgiven us and restored us, then I tell you what will happen. This church will become a magnet. For people will be drawn to it. For deep in each heart there is a need for love. There is a need for acceptance. And maybe our example, our service, will enable other people to come and encounter the love of God for the first time in their lives. We need to have a welcome to those who don't know Jesus. We need to be prepared to talk to them and to bring them to Christ, to give opportunity for them to respond. And if we are believers, what we need to do is to make it our one aim above everything else, that we would love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Jesus said the second command was to love our neighbour as ourselves. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the very real sense of your Spirit's here and his anointing on our lives and on our hearts right now. Lord, we pray that not only would we encounter your love and salvation, but Lord, that you would help us to share that with other folk. I want to, while we're quiet and maybe with our eyes shut or our heads bowed, want to make just a number of appeals tonight. And if there are folk here tonight who don't know Jesus, you've never responded to his love for you, you've never accepted the fact that when he died on the cross, he didn't die as a martyr or for his own sins, but he actually died for you. The Bible says something like this, that he who knew no sin became sin, that we might know the grace and the mercy of God at work in our lives. And if tonight that you've never responded to that, then I want you to seriously think about it. And then I want to talk to Christians. And I want to say, this morning we in fun in the youth service this morning, we were testing people to see if they were breathing. And maybe tonight we could test ourselves and say, what's the strength of our love for God? John, in the last book of the Bible, the Revelation, speaks to the church at Ephesus. And his judgment, his criticism, his comment, if you like, on those as a church, was this, that they had lost their first love. And I wonder if that might be true for someone here tonight. You've lost your first love. That joy, that enthusiasm, that excitement when you first encountered the love of God, and somehow it's got a bit dead, bit dry. You're not the Christian that you know that you were previously. And tonight I believe that God would encourage us to have a fresh encounter of his love in our lives. You see, Paul had once commended that church at Ephesus for its love for God and its zeal for God. They were a busy church. Its members did much to benefit themselves and the community in which they lived. But now he says, that first generation of Christians perhaps had died off. And the second growth of Christians hadn't got the zeal and the passion and the excitement that their forefathers had. And they were now acting out of wrong motives. And our work and our service has to react out of a love for God, or else it will die. And we might be guilty, as they were, of losing their first love. I want to challenge you to think about that. Has my first love grown cold? And then thirdly, I want to just challenge us all in this year of fresh fire to think about, are we filled with the Holy Spirit? And is it something that's relevant and active in our lives today? You could tell me that you were filled with the Holy Spirit on such and such a date. It could be like a notch on your belt. And no one could deny that. But in one of Paul's letters, he writes about being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. You see, our lives are a bit like sieves. We leak a lot. And we need to be topped up a lot. And I want to challenge myself and you. How much are we filled with the Holy Spirit? I wonder if we could sing Simon More Love again. Sam, is it possible to put the chorus up for that? Simon changed words of the first verse. Can I change words of the chorus? Because as I sat there and was singing it, I thought, and I will love you with all of my heart. And I will love you with all of my mind. And I will love you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord. It does work. And I'm not going to make an open appeal tonight. I've challenged you in three areas. And we'll sing this through and Simon will judge when we've sung it enough. And then afterwards we'll finish the service. But if you would like to talk to Simon or Dean or myself or a Christian friend, and you would say, would you pray for me? Because I want to be a person who has encountered God's love and it's spilling out. I want to be a person who is willing to reciprocate that love to other people and to recycle that love with other people. And I don't know quite how to do it, or I feel weak to do it, but I'd really like to take up that challenge to serve other people this week. And would you pray for me? And we'd be delighted to do that. And maybe you long to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says that when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 in the upper room, it gave them power to become witnesses for Jesus. And maybe your first love has died down a bit and you need your spiritual life recharged, if you like. You need fresh power, fresh anointing, fresh fire that will equip you not only to encounter God for yourself, but to be a channel through which God can be encountered by other people. And I will love you with all of my heart. Next on them.